We live broken lives. And as we age, things start to go wrong, things stop working, and by the time you're about 100, you're very miserable. You might be a happy person, but you're working under great handicaps. Not many people make it to 120. But could you imagine living to 100, 200, 300, 1,000, 2,000 with your present body? It would be distinctly uncomfortable and a horrible time. So God in his mercy took them out of the Garden of Eden so that they would die before things got really too bad. Well, we come next to Genesis chapter 4. We find that on page 6, and I'll read it now. That's Genesis 4, starting at the first verse. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land, and I'll be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methusael, and Methusael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Adar and the others Zillah. Adar gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. Zillah also had a son, Jubal Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Jubal Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, "Adar and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. if Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to God. Let's just start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we consider these verses today, please help us to not only understand the implications for Cain and Abel, but also help us to see the similarities in our present world that we might take on the warnings. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, God had told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and increase in number, to fill the earth and subdue it. As they go about this, Eve seems amazed that God had helped her give birth to a human. Now, those of us who have ever witnessed the birth of a live baby have been blown away by the new life with 10 fingers and 10 toes, a living, breathing copy of its parents. Although it cries and it's messy at times, we think it's all wonderful. Now, science may be able to explain the whole process, but the new human still impresses us as greatly as it impressed Eve. The grown-up sons took on the tasks involved in subduing the earth, Cain eking a living from the ground, and Abel tending flocks of animals. Although the family lived outside the Garden of Eden, they still worshipped the Lord God who had created them and blessed them. They weren't cut off totally from him. Looking at verses 3 to 5 again, we see that in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. So Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord. God looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but not on Cain and his offering. Abel had selected fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. Now, this suggests that his attitude towards God was respectful and he was prepared to give God a very expensive gift. Perhaps Cain had just gone into his garden and grabbed whatever was close to hand because he had less respect for God. Now, we're reminded in Proverbs 15:8 that the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked. So I don't know whether God thought that Cain was wicked and so he would not accept the gift, or whether it was just God saying, no, I won't accept your gift at this time. It's not up to me to question what God does. The rejection of his offering, though, caused Cain to spit the dummy and have a downcast face. God graciously warned Cain against sinning. God advised Cain to go about offering a sacrifice in the right way and thus have it accepted. He reminds Cain that just as a wild animal is crouching in front of a closed door looking for any opportunity to get in and cause havoc, so Satan is looking for any opportunity to take over Cain's life. Now, when I was trying to think of examples of wild animals couched at the door ready to leap in, I wasn't aware of too many examples in Narrabri, apart from the blowflies. They hang around outside the kitchen screen door when Margaret's doing the cooking, especially if it's nice meat, and any chance you give them, they'll get in. It's up to us to try and keep them out. It's a real competition. So in this case, it's up to Cain to not allow Satan in. Cain's real argument was with God, but he chose to take out his anger on Abel. He killed Abel, who had done nothing against his elder brother. In this day and age, we see this with the mass shootings in some American schools, where you've got a student who's upset about something and then comes along to the school and shoots a string of his schoolmates for no particular reason. They're the ones that have to die. But the clearest example of an innocent being murdered was in the crucifixion of Jesus by people who had been turning their backs on God the Father. And that's what we read about in Luke chapter 15. Although the judge, Pilate, said, "I can't find any reason why he should be executed," he still handed Jesus over to the mob who were screaming for him, knowing that they would see to it that he would die. Now, when the Lord confronted Cain, Cain took after his father by trying to hide his guilt by saying, in the question, "Where's your brother?" he said, "I don't know." And he suggested that it was not his fault anyway. It was God who should have been looking out for Abel and not his elder brother. Adam had failed to love God fully, and now his son Cain has failed to love his own brother. As God announces the punishment of banishment and perpetual wandering, Cain protests. In our language, perhaps, he's saying, "I'm being driven from mum and dad and all the land that I've been farming. I'm being driven away from you, God, because this is where we worship you. As I wander in unsafe regions, someone I encounter will decide to kill me." Isn't all that a bit over the top? Now, Cain, his only concern is about himself. He expresses no concern whatsoever about Abel. He's not sorry he did it, but in mercy the Lord told him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Cain went away to the land of Nod. Now, Nod means wandering, and apart from it being further east of the Garden of Eden, we do not know its location. In verses 17 to 19, we find a genealogy which goes down to seven generations from Adam through the line of Cain until we get to Lamech. And then it stops, tells us a bit about Lamech. He had a bit of a reputation. Lamech was the first recorded bigamist in the Bible. His sons show that people went into specialist occupations. Jabal was a wandering herdsman. Now, I was trying to think about that in Narrabri terms, and it would be a bit like saying that he was a drover because he had to take the stock from pasture to pasture. And that meant, because they didn't have trucks and caravans, that they would have to move around and live in tents. Now, I know that I can look after stock in my paddock, but if I had to put them out on the road, it would be a whole new experience and I'd have to learn a whole lot of new skills. And that's what Jabal did. He had the skills, and people after him used to go around with their herds. Jubal was the father of musicians, those who played stringed instruments, pipes and flutes. Now, they would have been pretty basic stringed instruments, but obviously he was an arty sort of a guy that had some ability in that. Tubal Cain, he was a smithy, making all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. And those sorts of things would have been in demand because they didn't have tractors. It would have been people digging the ground, growing their food, along with a lot of thorns and weeds. And so they'd need something like that. Now, Lamech's poem reveals that he had killed someone who had only injured him, and he's very proud of it. Cain's death would be avenged by God seven times over, but Lamech will see to it that anyone who harms him will be avenged 77 times. Lamech twisted God's ideal of marriage. He knew that vengeance belongs to God, but Lamech makes himself God in deciding to kill people for less violent crimes. And he rejects God authority as he exercises violence towards people who bear God's image. And this has just spread too far in the line of Cain. Now, after the loss of both Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve are granted another son, Seth. Now, when you think about it, Adam and Eve are back near the garden, growing older, but you'll find out next week that age is relative. Abel's disappeared, and Cain has gone away. Now, they didn't have mobile phones then, or carrier pigeons, and so there was no way that Cain would have got in touch with his parents. So as far as they were concerned, he was lost. But they still got this command to spread throughout all the world. So they have another son, Seth. Seth has a son, Enosh. Now, unlike Cain, when he was born, this line shows more promise because at that time, we're told, people began to call on the name of the Lord. They were worshipping God and praying to him and seeking his blessing on what they were doing. The household of Seth continues to this day. Jesus, who is the descendant of Eve, Jesus who crushed Satan, is part of Seth's line. Today we find many people who actively dismiss God and make themselves God. Daily we hear examples of people who destroy the lives of people made in God's image. Turn on the radio in the morning and when the news comes up, what do you find? Somebody in the western suburbs of Sydney has shot someone. Someone down in the Illawarra has stabbed somebody. Someone in the eastern suburbs has been bashed up. There's violence there against people bearing God's image every day. We keep encountering people who commit atrocities as they claim to serve God as seen through their religion. In actual fact, we've become worse than Cain and his crew became. As they went down through the generations, they got worse and worse. And the same thing has happened. So that now, it's just widespread throughout the world. Yet in this fractured world, we still see God's mercy at work as the way back to peace with God is spoken through the gospel. The one true sacrifice for our sins was made as Jesus was crucified outside Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. We know that God approved of his son's sacrifice because Jesus was resurrected from the dead on the third day, and he now lives with his Father in heaven. His blood shed once on the cross is effective to wash away the sins of all who come to him in faith, seeking forgiveness. The blood of Abel, it soaked into the ground, it cried out to God for punishment upon the person who had killed Abel, but that's as far as his blood went. but the blood of Christ is much more effective. So let's just close in prayer at this stage. Dear Heavenly Father, we are astonished that Adam and Eve and their descendants, all of mankind, turned their backs on you so quickly. The created seeking a better life than the very good life that their creator had given them. As people born with a sinful nature, we know that we've often rejected your advice and your rule in our lives. We've not always loved all people. We are astounded that despite the sinfulness of all mankind, in your mercy you had a plan which you offer for our salvation. We thank you that Jesus sacrificed his life so that his innocent blood could cover all the sins of those who trust your promise. Please help us to spread the good news of your offer of salvation through our families, throughout our towns, and all the people groups on earth. And this we pray through Jesus, your Son, and our Lord. Amen.